You're listening to Swiping Up.
Join Esther.
So dang cute.
Wendy.
Hey, y'all.
And Spencer.
Just wanted to pop on.
As they spill the tea on the lifestyles of the Insta-famous.
Hey, guys. I checked my receipt and I didn't buy anyone's bullshit. This is Spencer So Basic.
I have a pretty big ass, so when I half-ass something, you're still getting something impressive. This is Esther So Extra.
I may have 20/20 vision, but I wear rose-colored glasses. This is Wendy being basic.
Love it.
I love it.
Welcome to episode 69, Boucher.
I was wondering if you were going to say something sexual.
Of course I am, because I'm disgusting, one. But actually, it's really funny. I saw a TikTok the other day. And it started off where someone was like, tell me something that you have discovered is like totally overrated. And then it cut to the guy who was duetting the TikTok, and he was like 69. He was like, when you're younger, 69 is like the like pinnacle of all things like hot that you want to try, until you actually try it and realize how fucking awkward it is, and it's not a good time. I was like, I happen to agree.
No, it could be fun. It can totally be fun.
It's all right. It seems like it's more work than it's worth.
It's awkward, like getting in the position. So then that's not fun, because it's like you
knee someone in the face.
Like, who's the six, who's the nine, you know?
I mean, you do a little flip, just like you're flipping grilled cheese, you know? One's on top for a while, then one's on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, just like grilled cheese.
Sounds like mac and cheese.
Ooey gooey.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so what is this Disney princess note?
Okay. Well, let's talk about something a little more wholesome.
I know, for real.
Okay, so this is just so random. And, you know, you guys know I like to just share random thoughts. And I don't know how this came up. I think because, I saw something about Frozen. Nick and I were talking about the movie Frozen. I was thinking about Disney princesses. And you know how in every Disney princess story, something happens, and like that's how she knows who her prince is? Like Sleeping Beauty, the prince kisses her and she wakes up. Or like Cinderella, the prince puts the glass slipper on her and like she turns into, I don't know.
I think you might be mixing things up, but we're with you. We're following.
First of all, I would be a Disney queen instead of a princess. But my thing, how I would know that the man is the prince, like in this case, Nick, would be that like I would need a foot rub. And like the only person, like the prince in the story, the only person who would be able to put me to sleep would be the prince. And so like any like villain or like character in the story would try and rub my feet, and it would just like wouldn't relax me. I wouldn't fall asleep. But the one who is the prince would rub my feet and I would fall asleep. Kind of the opposite of Sleeping Beauty.
Oh my God.
You're trying to be wooed to sleep instead of,
I guess, being, I don't know, awoken. Why I thought of that. I don't know why I felt the need to share it, but I did.
Well, I used to have like terrible insomnia, and the minute Robbie would start rubbing my ass, I was out in like 30 seconds.
I remember you saying something about, okay, so if you were a Disney princess, the way that you would know it was the prince is if he rubbed your ass and you fall asleep.
Yeah. That's fair. All right.
During 69.
During 69, just reach around and rub him.
What would yours be, Wendy?
Ooh, I'm Sleeping Beauty, yawning over here. I'm a foot rub kind of girl, but I'm not picky about my foot rubs. Just rub my damn feet, and I'm good. That's all I need.
I don't know. There's something about Nick's foot rubs that I just,
that's,
I fall,
good. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom gives a mean foot rub, and so does Mike. I don't judge.
Feet,
I love it.
Really gross me out. But
really?
Yes, like other people's feet, no. But I do love a foot rub. Last night I was like, I was like, what? I was like, I wish I could do an OnlyFans. Like, these witches make so much money. And then I was like, what if I did an OnlyFans just for feet? You never see a face, just feet. And I was like, nah, I got big old skis for feet. Nobody wants to see these.
Some people like that. And I literally was talking to Nick either Saturday night or Sunday night about getting an OnlyFans. Why not?
I'm serious. I would totally do it if there was no face involved.
I don't even know what that is.
OnlyFans? People give you money for sexual things.
It's what?
So some people, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's got a definitely a like negative, not negative, but like a sexual reputation is the word I'm trying to say. But I know there's like celebrities are on OnlyFans and they're not putting up sexy photos and videos and things like that. But then you have people like Aaron Carter, who's like, having sex on his OnlyFans. So,
my God, really?
Yes, you didn't know that? Aaron Carter. Yes, his poor, bless his heart. He is making money any old way he can. And that's by putting on full porn on his OnlyFans.
No way.
Swear to God.
No, so people pay for it.
Yeah, you like, it's like Patreon, but for sexy time.
Oh my God.
So you pay like a monthly fee and like the person will put up photos or videos or they do like giveaways, you know, like
so
random
Esther,
stuff.
What would your OnlyFans be?
Underwear.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
People sell their underwear. I saw TikTok about it.
A lot of cosplay goes on OnlyFans too.
Well, like Nick actually wants me to go on Twitch and play World of Warcraft in a tight tank top.
Wait, can they see you in World of Warcraft?
On Twitch. So Twitch is like
a stream. Oh, yes. Duh, duh, duh. Say no more.
Like get followers and whatever. I can't play video games, but that's beside the point.
With your new small titties?
Right, exactly. No, but honestly, one other funny thing is I saw a TikTok the other day that there's this girl when she was younger. She hates feet, like you, Spencer, like hates them, thinks they're disgusting, like get them away from me. And her sister told her when she was younger, you know, there's a thing for that. Like when you hate feet and have an aversion to them, it's called having a foot fetish. So she went around telling everybody, her grandparents, her parents, her friends, she had a foot fetish.
Stop. That is more.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Her poor grandparents probably had a heart attack.
Oh my God. I'm sure.
Oh my God. All right. Well, enough of this potty talk. So let's move into our 7-second snippets. So the first one that I have on the list, I'm going to totally butcher her last name, but I think it's Emily Fowler. And there's lots of people that do adopt-a-families during the holidays, right? We see it all the time. We do it ourselves. It's a great thing. There's so many people in need year-round, but especially at the holidays, can be a really difficult time for these families. And, you know, it's just a great way to give back. What Emily did this year, I thought was really, really special. So apparently her biological sister, and I don't know her story really. I don't know if she's adopted or what her backstory is, but her biological sister grew up in a group home. And a group home is different than a foster home. A group home is where kids generally 10 to 18 will go when they're not adopted or they're not being fostered. And they, you know, her sister was telling her that basically they never got anything. Christmas was just a day. There was nothing special about it. And so what she did is she did a drive for these kids in these group homes. And she was able to get 53 kids everything on their wish list. Wow. I mean, everything. And so what they did was they put together a list with the people who run the group home. They had all the kids kind of make a wish list. And she said it was so sad. Like one kid didn't want anything. He wanted nothing. Another kid wanted like socks, you know?
Wow.
And so they put together a list. And then she told the person who's in the group home, like, add things that they need. We want to make sure that they have everything. I think she said like 27 minutes, everything was purchased from her followers.
God. That's so crazy.
Like, so cool. But it just, it made me think, because I've never even thought about looking outside of those, like, adopt-a-family programs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is something really, really special that I would want to do.
Yeah. That's kind of like, it's a later topic, but Kristen Cole, she did kind of something similar where her and her girlfriends had gotten together and they went and they bought a ton of stuff. I shared it on my stories and I accidentally put, this is an insane follow. And then I corrected it. It was instant.
Oh.
But Bridget Hart had shared it. And it's like, you see so many girls like doing stuff, like the traditional ways of like giving back. But just like what you said, Spencer, like with these different ways of like giving back to kids or going outside of just like your typical programs, because sometimes those kids get adopted each year. And I'm not saying that they don't need that too, but probably most people don't think about a group home. And,
right. You know, I never would have.
No, me either. Which I think is really cool when we see Bibs doing that, because they do a lot of giveaways like to their followers, but it's really cool around this time, especially to see more giveaways to like people in need, or like even doing a couple years ago for my business, we did a giveaway. It wasn't even a giveaway, but it was like people basically could, we did photo shoots and we would do their hair and makeup for like a job interview. And it just gives them a chance to like, if it was donated. Oh my gosh, Maggie is going crazy, y'all. Sorry. But anyway, I just think it's really special to see that. And more Bibs, I would hope, will start using their platforms for more of that type of thing.
I definitely, like, they always say, like, the people, like, whatever, charities done in silence. But I think with influencers, it's a little bit different. I think with influencers, I want to see more of the behind the scenes stuff that they're doing that's charitable and nice.
Yeah, totally. Me too. And that's actually a perfect segue to my next topic, because Crystal Faircloth, we all know her and we love her. You know how every bib does their own personal monthly giveaway? Well, she is doing her December giveaway a little bit differently this year. So she came on stories to kind of explain and give the backstory of what she was doing. And she said nonprofits rely heavily on in-person events to fundraise. Mm-hmm. And that's been really hard for them this year with COVID and all the restrictions and all that stuff. And so, this month, all of her her like giveaway is going to be to a local nonprofit, and it's the donations will benefit a local pediatric brain cancer charity.
Wow.
And that charity is building a facility that will help house all the out-of-town families so that they don't have to spend money on hotels and travel costs and all that. So she came up with a giant list of all these like fun, different giveaway items, and she's raffling them off, and each dollar donated equals 1 point. So, like you get, the more points you have, the more dollars you donate, the more points you get, the better of a chance that you have to win one of these raffles.
Oh, that's me. Okay. I love that.
Completely butchering this, but, no money passes through her hands. It goes directly to the organization. And she's going to be announcing a new set of winners every single week instead of just like one monthly winner.
That's cool. That is awesome.
Yeah,
it's,
I like that.
So cool, because it's 100% like not self-centered at all.
No.
It's for the charity. And it's like, it made me go Google that what this charity was and like who they are, what they're doing and all of that stuff. And it's just such a smart, I have not seen a bib do that.
No,
their monthly giveaway.
It's like they're trading out their likes and their comments and their own growth for like pure like giving back. I mean, there's the benefit for them is not going to be like the likes and the engagement. It's going to be like helping. And that is really cool.
And that just sets Crystal apart. Like, I know we love her. We've been on her show, and it's just one more check in the box of like, that's a bib that I want to follow and like spend my time, you know, keeping up with. So
for sure.
I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
Speaking of her show, did you guys see Scott's stories the other day about his dog bite?
Oh, no. I saw it when it was healing.
So he was in New Orleans and he was walking down the street and this guy let his dogs out And the dog ran. He, of course, was like right, I guess, at the fence opening when the guy let the dogs out. And the dog came and jumped and latched onto his arm. Oh. And he said it was literally like squirting blood everywhere. He said he said he had to lay down on the sidewalk and like hold his arm because he was bleeding so much. I was like, Oh my God. And I feel so bad. He's like, I've never been a huge dog person in the first place. He was like, and then of course, like this happens. And I was having a bad day. Like, I felt so bad.
Didn't it happen right when he got there too? It was like within the first few hours. Didn't it happen like pretty quickly? He's like, great. I've been here for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. God. And he said it was like already already a shitty day. And then that happened. I was like, oh, you poor baby.
I'm assuming he had to get stitches and stuff, right?
I don't know if he had to get stitches, but he had to go to the ER.
Poor guy. He's too cute to have a dog bite.
I know.
Rude. I hope that dog learned a lesson.
I hope so too. I hope he reported it. Anyways, that was totally like off topic, but it just made me think of it. I was like, oh God, that sucks.
Okay, so most people who are doing Christmas cards already have their cards done. Wendy, your card is so cute this year.
Thanks.
And you know, we all see the Bibs doing Christmas cards every single year, and we see like these beautiful, you know, portraits and pictures and all that. And I saw Bib do a behind the scenes of her Christmas card photo shoot, and I had really never seen anyone do it, and it was Taryn Newton. And she said, normally they go outside to like nature and they do that whole thing. And she said this year she wanted them to be glam. And they got all dressed up. She has four boys. Okay. So somehow, like, she made them all look like so dapper, got them all dressed up, got them out of the house. She looked so freaking gorgeous and glam. And she just kind of showed the behind the scenes and like, she was so chill. Everyone was so calm. Her littlest one apparently was like going around to all the props, like wanting to play with them. But other than that, like they were so just like well behaved. And then she did like a time lapse of it. So you could actually see them like all doing all their different poses and the photographer, like, you know, directing everything. Yeah. And then she shared some like candid snapshots. I just thought that was a really cool behind the scenes look of like how the Christmas card was made. And then right after I had written that on the notes, Maddie Nelson did it too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw Maddie doing it also.
I liked hers because, like, if you looked at the pictures, like, you assume, like, they're out in nature in this beautiful field. And then she pans the camera and there's some, like, industrial building, like a bank or a... she's, like, in the parking lot. It was so... I love seeing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Me too. Cool. Taryn is, like, that is how she is, though. She is so, like, chill... and like calm. I don't know. She's got like this serene quality about her. I don't know what other way to describe it, but
that's a really good way to put it. She's and I don't know, like with four boys and a husband, like,
I know. She's, it's impressive she even got to the site to do the Christmas cards.
I know. Like, I know, but I thought that was fun.
That is cool.
Okay. So we have had a lot of like, milestones for the Bibs this last week.
Now we have.
One of which, I mean, there's been a couple. So Danny Austin hit 1 million followers. Jen Reed hit 1 million followers. And I know you guys saw this. Did you see her FaceTiming with some of her followers?
Yes. So cute.
She put up a question box when she hit 1 million. One of the things she wanted to do was have like some FaceTime calls with some of her followers. And she had people put their phone numbers in this question box. And so Heather, her friend, blonde twin mom.
Tomato. Decals, decals.
But so she was recording her on these FaceTime calls. Jen was crying. I was crying. Mm-hmm. Like, it was such a cool moment to watch. I loved that we got to like have a quick peek into like those conversations.
Yes. And now they're going to do it weekly, which I love. And again, I've never seen a Bib do this ever.
No.
No, and that's so cool to be that like personal, because I'm sure they're always having to like try to get creative without being like the same old, same old. I mean, hello, getting a call.
And think about it. She has 1 million followers.
Yeah.
That is crazy to then be like, make it a priority to call people that follow you. I mean, you want to talk about building brand loyalty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
But right, it's going to have to be like that with the amount of, I mean, they're not going to be able to keep up with every DM, because that's where people complain. When the bibs were smaller, you know, people were like, oh, they used to respond to all my DMs. That is not practical. It just is not. So they're going to have to get creative on what they're doing to be more like hands on, but without probably feeling like they're bogged down by responding to every single comment, every single DM, you know?
Totally.
It's tough.
Yep.
I thought it was so sweet.
That is.
And just really cool. Genuine.
Yeah, I'm hoping that she records more, because I literally loved seeing those conversations.
Me too. That was cool.
I didn't even mean to make a pun, but genuine.
Oh.
Very, I was like, very
Wendy genuine. Wendy and I are moving slow tonight.
moving slow all day, y'all. Whew.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, wait, is Wendy. It me?
Yeah.
Speaking of moving slow.
Oh, all right. I was just trying to lead by example. Okay. I'm sure y'all have seen all of the United Airlines drama with that.
Oh, yeah.
Elise. I think her name is Elise or Eliz Fulop. I'm not sure, but she is, I guess she's kind of a bodybuilder more than anything.
She's an MLMer. She does all the liquid collagen stuff. But
isn't she a body, but like, isn't her like brand?
She's a fitness and travel influencer.
Okay.
But she's big into the MLM.
Got it. Dang, I was pulling up her Instagram and she's actually made it private right now. But she went from like 14,000 when I looked up her page. She's 55,000 followers now. I guess last night people were saying she did it like for attention and like all this stuff. So she made a post and she was like, okay, for the haters, you know, I didn't do this for any other reason than to like basically tell my story, because I guess someone else was in first class, same exact situation, 2-year-old, did not get kicked off the plane. But that was really freaking dirty. Can y'all imagine somebody telling your kid that's too, like, if Fisher did not want to wear a mask, I'd be like, sorry, he's not going to do it. Like,
no,
what?
I mean, and he tried. So for the people who don't know about what happened, they got on their United Airlines flight. They had been flying with United for years, and they've been flying all summer with their 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. She hasn't worn a mask. No problem. She got on the plane. She didn't want to wear a mask. Elise filmed it, and the husband was trying to put the mask
on.
He
held it on her nose for a good majority of it. Like, he held it on her face.
Flight attendant came over and was like, we're going to need you to exit the plane. And basically, they were very calm, surprisingly. And like, they were like, are you serious? And
they were so respectful.
Yeah. And the flight attendant was like, this is non-compliant. And he's like, I'm complying. I'm literally holding this thing over my daughter's nose. But you can't make a 2-year-old wear a mask.
No.
So long story short, they got kicked off the plane. They were told they were being non-compliant multiple times. And they were told they were banned from United Airlines.
Forever.
I went to United Airlines and their luggage was like sent far away. They had already spent two hours filling out forms. I went to United Airlines website and it specifically says on their website, children over 2 years of age must wear a face covering. So they weren't breaking any rules. That person, that man who told them to get off the plane, had it wrong and put them through all of that with no car seat for their daughter, no luggage, nothing.
I mean, the kid was 2. So technically,
over 2.
Right. But if you're 2 years old in 1 day, like Fisher's over 2, but I would not make my kid wear a mask. He's 2.5.
And I think all the other airlines, it's 4.
Yeah. And in other places, it's like 3 or and above. Some of them is 5 years old. It's a child. A child is going to do, like, until I became a mom, I never understood the theory, like, your kid's going to do what they're going to do. And obviously, it's within reason if your kid's being just a like total turd, whatever.
Right.
But like, you cannot make your kid, he was holding it over, he did everything in his power to do what they said. But she said that's not even the main issue. It was that somebody in first class, literally, same situation, did not get kicked off that plane.
Of that same plane?
Yeah. Or no, maybe not that plane. Sorry. It might not have been that plane, but the same day, same situation. I can't remember now. But the girl did post, because that other girl had like a million followers, and she posted a story tagging Elise into it and basically just saying like, this is wrong. And I'm like, good for her for standing up too.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy totally. To me. But she's been on like tons of news outlets. It's just, I mean, I went to United's page to see if anyone was like saying anything. Cause you know, you always wonder about like people bashing your business, I guess. But I didn't see any comments or anything on United. So either they've deleted them or have certain things blocked. I don't know.
That's crazy.
What a whole hassle. Like, I was very impressed with like how calm they were.
Yeah.
And like, why wouldn't she post that when you're like caked off a flight?
Absolutely.
In the middle of winter with a 2-year-old stranded, don't even have a car seat for her, don't have luggage. Of course you're going to want to get attention and be like, hey.
But it wasn't attention. Like, she had to address the haters.
Yeah, you're going to want to bring attention to the situation and get it out there.
Of course. And the way that she did her video was not in a like a crazy manic way. I mean, she was very upset and calm. Like, she was probably way more put together than I would have been. I would have been so pissed. But she was like genuinely like upset and just...
Oh no, I was very, especially her husband. I was very, very impressed with how like calm and collected he was. And he was respectful in the way that he spoke to the people. I would have literally been flying off the handle. It would have been a very different situation if it were my husband and I.
Me too.
So hopefully they make it right by them. That is like wild.
That is really wild. So wear your face masks or don't fly United if you have a child under two.
For real. My friend is actually flying. She lives in London and she's flying back to the States for Christmas. And she's like, she had actually sent me the video. And she's like, she has a child who's around the same age. And she's like, I wish I could boycott them. We're flying United back to the States. She was like, and now I'm stressed out. Like, what if this happens? So crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is crazy.
All right. So I don't know which one of you posted it, but this past week we posted a TikTok on our stories and it was this girl making a joke about the other TikToks that are like, my life in NYC, because these people post them and it's like unrealistic. It is not what their everyday life looks like in NYC. It's what their best day looks like, you know, going around to Lauderdale or whatever it's called for the macarons and all that. So this girl, she's a photographer and blogger. Her name is Allie Provost, right? I think that's it.
I love her.
Cute as a button. And I had actually seen that TikTok before and looked her up specifically because I was like, there's no, like, I need to know this girl. And so she does live in NYC. Her feed is so fun and like different. It's just kind of refreshing to get a break from like the Southern mommy blogger monotony that goes on. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, but like they all wear the same shit and none of it is stuff that I wear or would want to wear. So it's kind of nice to get a break on my feed from that. And her photos are beautiful and she has a highlight that's called backgrounds and she puts up her photos for people to use like as picture backgrounds for their phones.
That I love that.
So I was all Look over her page. Oh, I know. Gorgeous.
Okay. Wow.
So I was on her page and I was kind of looking like at her stories and I came across another girl that I really was interested in and somebody that's just like a change of pace, something different to see on my feed. Her handle is Glamazon Diaries. And I'm probably going to butcher her name. Makeda. It's Makeda. So she is like a plus size blogger. Mm-hmm. Again, just something different. Her outfits are like they're so fun. They're not practical outfits, but they're so much fun to look at. And I love seeing how she puts pieces together and takes her photos and she incorporates tons of color. So
she could be on Sex and the City.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Totally. I'm obsessed with that. Look at this freaking dress.
Or like the yellow one. Like, just
Yeah,
boss
she's
bitch.
You her. Can tell yeah. they both are actually passionate about fashion
totally.
And they have fun with it and they let it come through, you know, come their personalities mm-hmm. come through in their clothing. And I love that.
Glamazon says she's seen in Vogue, NYT, Cosmo, and InStyle.
Dang.
Oh, yeah. She's That's like so cool. legit.
Wow. But I feel like New York bloggers are like next level. They're just different. It's different fashion. It's
totally.
A lot more high fashion and more like eclectic like styles and stuff. It's really cute. I love her feed. It's so pretty.
Yeah, I'm going to follow both of them. I only followed Allie on TikTok.
Yeah, I love both of them. I really am excited about them.
Yeah. Esther, go ahead, because I already put my topic when we were talking about the other stuff, the giveaways.
Oh, okay. So I have a new bib. I actually found, okay, so this is I'm going to try and explain this, not complicated. Do you remember when we did the thing on Swiping Up where people dropped the bib names that they love and mm-hmm. then we shared them?
Uh-huh.
Someone shared this bib. Her name is, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, Rini Frey. And her handle is Own It Babe. And so my friend Nicole, do you remember we talked about her like a few episodes ago? She uh-huh. was trying Modera to see. Well, Rini is from Calgary, Alberta, and so is Nicole. And they're friends in real life. Aww. And so Nikki messages me and goes, oh my God, I just saw this on Swiping Up's page. Like, this is my actual girlfriend. Like, you need to check her out. She's really cool. So she's a really new follow for me. And talk about being off the beaten path. She reminds me of Birds Papaya. Mm-hmm. She puts everything out there. I mean, she got on stories today holding up a mirror talking about how she was looking down at her vag because she's just gave birth to a baby. Mm-hmm. She's like taking us and her followers along on her like postpartum journey. And I mean, she's sharing everything. She is not just this like picture perfect showing like the, you know, Instagrammable moments of motherhood and pregnancy. And she's so motivating in her quotes and what she says. And I really enjoy following her. Like, I don't know a lot about her yet, but
definitely what papaya vibes.
Yeah.
Yes. For sure.
I'm
but apparently she's like a major sweetheart in real life. You know, and she like a couple days ago, she just came on and was just saying like, I'm having a pretty crappy body image day today. This is what I wrote to myself. Maybe it'll help you too. And I mean, you know, she's not trying to be this body this body positive bib. She's just being herself.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing and I really like it. And you know, I don't have kids and I don't relate to the postpartum journey or motherhood, but I want to follow along because I think there's so much more to her and like what she shares can be applicable to so many women, whether or not they have kids.
Yep, for sure.
I just like, I look at people like her, like I'm looking at some of her photos and she has like a close-up photo of like her butt. You can mm-hmm. see every like, they're not pimples, but like the little goosebumpy, like hair follicle, like you can yeah. see it all. And I'm like, God, like what it must be like to be comfortable enough in your own body mm-hmm. to be able to do that.
Amen. Say
like,
it again.
That's so incredible to me.
Yeah. Or like this picture of her like belly and yeah. her boobs.
And I hate saying like, I would never say like, oh my God, that's so brave, because that implies that she has something to be ashamed of and is being brave to put it out there. So it's not like that. It's just, she's comfortable enough in her own skin to be willing to do that. I don't know.
I think it's brave like, to be vulnerable in front of strangers like that.
Yes. You know what? I do agree with that, regardless of what your body looks like.
And there's been... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
It's not just physical. She talks about the mental part of it too, and that's being vulnerable. And like a lot of bibs don't want to come on and they want to pretend they don't have problems and that life is perfect. And mm-hmm. the fact that she's talking about both and that they go hand in hand is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And society tells you what perfection is. I mean, you can't have a blemish. You can't have a scratch, a stretch mark, you know, any of that. You have to be a certain size. So anytime you're coming on and you're not that, like you should absolutely be happy to share that and be, that is being brave because you're not just another cookie cutter, you know, person. We all have our issues of why we want to look like something, obviously, but because you know, I ain't getting on them IG stories without a filter and without a good angle. Period.
No, I'm sorry. Hell no. I got on stories today talking about a couple of things, and I was like, well, maybe I should just get on without a filter, and I have before, but like it's uncomfortable.
It just
like,
hits different sometimes, you know.
Of course, you want to be in the best lighting and have the best angle, and like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of her, but do you know the name Liz Lovery?
I don't know. I thought this was about Loverly Gray.
No. So her name is Liz Brown, but her handle is Liz Lovery. And she's a San Diego blogger. She has about 65,000 followers. And this past week, she was asked to be on Good Morning America, showing like how to decorate for the holidays, and she did her tree, and I was like, wow, it made me think of when Jen Reed was on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like how excited she was at 800,000 followers or however many she had at that point in time. This girl has 65,000 followers and was asked to be on Good Morning America. Dang. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh my God, I love her. I'm gonna follow her.
Like how incredibly like exciting that had to be for her. I just can't imagine. So I watched her. She came across my Explore page literally the day she was going on Good Morning America. So I was watching her stories, and she was doing her like sound check from the day before. Aww. And she's got like her dog is adorable. And I love her feed. I love her feet. I love her hair. I love her clothes. So she's a new follow for me, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, she's cute.
I am loving what I'm seeing. I love that she's from San Diego. Oh my God. And she's like in Palm Springs in this picture, like all my favorite places. I feel 1,000,000% following her.
And I feel like a lot of times the California girls, it's kind of like the New York girls, right? It's a distinct style. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not super like relatable or whatever, but I don't find her style that way at all. It's very like
everyday girl.
Yeah, I guess that's the way to put it. I can't
like
think
literally of jeans and a white t-shirt type girl. Like you can
like
hang out
transcends
with her.
The like California girl aesthetic type of thing.
Totally.
Right. And she has a golden retriever. So
oh my God. Right when you said that, I like scrolled to that picture of her with her dog. How cute.
Yeah. She put up a really cute story of him the other day. She like tossed him a treat, and he did that thing where it just sat on the floor and he like snapped at it and jumped around and like flipped around, put his head on the ground next to it and was like freaking out. You ever see a dog do that? It's so funny.
Yeah. Aww. Nice. Well, followed her too. Okay. Jessica Madison. Tell me y'all freaking saw her Mario Lopez, like all the stuff with the Chick-fil-A. I mean, the KFC.
Yes.
Okay. Well, did y'all go back and see her Joe Exotic BFF one?
So when I first shared her, for the Joe Exotic.
Oh, I totally. Yes. Oh wow, I totally missed that. I forgot about it then because
I mean it was a while ago.
Yeah,
it was like at the beginning of the pandemic.
Well, I went back and watched it last night, and I was dying. It is so funny. Y'all need to go and watch it. It's a highlight for her, and it says Joe Exotic BFF or something like that.
But she has a Carole Baskin one too.
Yeah. Oh, does she? Oh man, I need to get through
Carole Baskin was on Dancing with the Stars. Remember, yeah. She was doing like the whole watch party thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That is really funny. I feel like we talk about so many bibs. Sometimes they just run together. Sorry, no offense, y'all.
I feel the same way.
Okay. And then, sorry. Go ahead. I was going
to
jump
but
right
I was
going
to say Mario Lopez replied to her DM.
I know. She posted it. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Did you just love it?
I just asked if people had seen it. No, you're good.
Oh my God. All three of us
from now
running.
On, Esther, do you just want to start reading my topics? I'll read your tagline. Like, you'd read my topics.
I didn't know if you said that he actually had replied to her, but anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't.
But speaking of Jessica Madison, I know you guys probably saw this, but she's been talking for a few weeks now about how people are stealing the pictures of her home and like putting them. Some people are selling them on websites and like reusing them, posting them as their own. And she gets like 10 DMs a day telling her, oh my God, I saw your picture here. one guy used her picture and she called him out and he was like, how dare you come and ruin my business?
What?
And I'm like, wait, what? Are we in like,
how dare you come ruin my business? Like, I don't care that this is your house.
And she's like, no, no, no. She's like, what people don't realize is that this is not me just whining on Instagram. Like, this is my business. I'm a one-woman show. Like, this is my business.
Right.
And so literally, this business, and I'm going to straight up say the name because I don't care, named Fuller's Flowers, wrote this caption. Had a client saying help. She had most of the decor, but needed help getting it all together, spiffy, and a few more things purchased before her family photos. This was a fun project that I haven't done in a while. She had her photographer take some pictures for me. Merry Christmas with three photos of Jessica Madison's home.
See, nope. Okay, so remember I brought this up a few episodes ago with her and how they were stealing it and she was seeing it on Pinterest and stuff and they were deleting comments from their feed. Okay. She isn't this like a form of like plagiarism or something? Not copyright, but like he's literally lying. He's a liar.
I don't know if there's legal repercussions to it, but there might be.
He's saying that she didn't come to him and those are her house.
Well, so. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know legally if there's any, you know, I think morally, ethically, it's a problem.
Totally. I think this is a different person than that guy. This is a woman from Fuller's Flowers. Yeah. This is like a second shit.
That is crazy. She needs to put a watermark on it.
Yeah. I know, but then it's going to like ruin it.
I know. But maybe at the bottom corner.
Yeah, but people can edit that shit out these days. I don't know.
True.
It's so to have an actual business page and be so bold as to steal someone else's home decor and like everything as your own and post about it and not think like, is this person arrogant or stupid?
Both. Right. I think it's one thing to take a photo and just like post it to your feed as like inspo or something like that. But to post the photo and be like, and make up a whole elaborate story about what you're doing, that is problematic.
Yes. And that's on our feed, like for swiping up, I always try to give credit on the picture. If I ever take one from something, you know, we always do like the repost or like whatever. But to make, like you said, a story up and be like, oh, she came to me and she wanted me to help her. You are lying through your teeth and your vases.
Vases.
Have y'all seen that meme that says people that say vase make me sick and it makes me want to punch them in their vase? I butchered that. It wasn't exactly
face
that.
Or vase.
Yeah, it's face.
Yeah, it's face.
Her okay. Work is just too good.
Only rich people who have foyers say vase.
Wait, I wonder if anybody steals Locked and Cox photos and uses hers as content.
As what? Well,
didn't use their business. All those shutters.
oh my god. Bless it. Y'all need to go back. And if you're new here, because we have a lot of new people, go check out Locked and Cocked. You will not be sorry.
it's on our highlights.
Yeah, shameless plug. Okay, so Andrea Besson, y'all may have heard of us talking about her. Gosh, when did we talk about her? This was last year or earlier this year, maybe?
I went back and looked. It was January of 2019.
Oh.
Oh, so like a year ago.
2020.
This year.
Were we doing it in 19? How long have we been doing this? Just passed our year. So it had to have been January of 2020.
So we talked about her and I don't remember how she originally came up. I know that I liked her and I was following her, but did she do something crazy that we were like, what is happening?
So I went back. Go ahead.
I was just saying you had originally brought her up because she was somebody that you religiously followed, but she had a history of disappearing off Instagram and coming back on and disappearing and was super inconsistent who she was and like her content and stuff. And then she had done a live and you had sent Esther and I the live to watch because you figured we didn't know who she was, which we didn't.
True.
And you wanted us to see to watch it so that we would know what you were talking about when you brought her up on the show.
Okay. Wow. Good for you. Did you remember that or did you go back and look?
I went back and looked because I wanted to know what I was talking about.
I went back and looked too, because when you first brought her up, I was like, who is that? Like, I don't know who that is. And then I went back and read the DMs and everything. And
yeah,
I don't remember in detail like you do, Spencer, mm-hmm. but I remember the basic like gist of it.
Okay. So long story short, I was a fan obviously of her, and I still don't not like her, you know, whatever, but she's been putting up Q&As, or she's doing a Q&A right now. I don't know if it'll still be there tomorrow, and I don't know if she's going to save it when this airs, but she's doing a Q&A. She came on stories. Was it last week? I guess last Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
I think it was, like a few days ago.
Yeah. And she basically disappeared, and she wanted to tell people like what the deal was, why she had disappeared and everything. And someone had sent it to me because they knew that I once, you know, was a fan. So I was like, okay, let me check it out. Well, I missed it, of course. And then I saw it later. I mean, it was very heart-wrenching. She came on and she was talking about how she went to drug rehab, and she had meth and cocaine and benzos, which I'm not really sure what that is. What is that? Benzo?
Well, methamphetamines. It basically opiates. Yeah. It was like Xanax and like pills, that kind of and stuff. Pills.
Okay.
Not like meth.
Right. Okay. So she, first of all, to do that is huge, but she's also trying to like kind of end the stigma of, you know, what you think someone's going through. And I felt horrible because of the messages that we got. We never said anything to her that was like completely out of the way, but she did message us, and basically we talked a little bit, but we never, like, nothing came out of it. She kind of disappeared again and went,
She had misinterpreted kind of your intentions of having Esther and I
listen
right. because you referred to it as homework, and she felt bothered like about mm-hmm. that. I'm not going to tell people how they should or shouldn't feel right. about something. The intention was never ill on our part. Mm-hmm. I think it was just definitely she was in a vulnerable place, and mm-hmm. so it was misconstrued.
I think she would have been defensive about any negativity. Oh,
for sure. And that's why it makes me so sad, because you really never know what someone's going through, you know, and you don't know at what point is going to break the camel's back. Like, what is it going to take for someone just to like completely break down? That's where my heart hurts for people like that, you know, because I would never want someone to think that like we caused something to happen for, you know, larger or whatever. But she's been coming on stories. She's back. She just got a puppy. Definitely worth checking out. I've never struggled with any kind of depression or anxiety even that I know of. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that is like. So I am very fascinated. And I'm not saying that in like a bragging way. I just am very fascinated at her life. And people were asking stories, and I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if she's going to like filter out some of like the better ones versus she's talking about everything. And they were asking like, when did it start? How did it start? How did it happen? I guess her and Taylor are actually still together. They were engaged, but he did some of the questions tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Y'all should definitely go back and like check it out and stuff. And I think it makes things make more sense too from people that did follow her over the years, because she talked about she would be high for 3 days and then she'd need like a day or two to come, you know, get herself back together. And then that next day she'd do her try-ons and work out and be very active on Instagram, and then it would start over again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I said, very fascinated, and it's worth watching. I'm like very invested in that because I, you know, had followed her for a while, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, like things make sense. And then I just feel so bad for people that are struggling with that. Like something that the way that it was hidden is so crazy to me that somebody could live a life like that.
Well, yeah. And she was saying how people would tell her like, oh, you don't look like a drug addict. And she's like, but that's part of what I want to end the stigma of, is like drug addicts don't look a certain way. Like they can be look like me. And I never followed her before the show. After we talked about her on that one episode, I never like followed her after that. But I did go and watch the video of her live that she saved. And it was like, what she did was so hard. And I don't know her. I'm not really invested in her. But it was kind of like humbling to watch her mm-hmm. just put it all out there, because like so many bloggers or influencers say, like, I don't owe you an explanation. But something that stuck with me that she said was, I owe you an apology mm-hmm. for making you watch me go through that. And like, not everybody could say that, you know, right. And just be so like, no ifs, ands, or buts, no excuses. Just like, I'm really sorry that you had to watch me go through that. And also, to your point, Wendy, we don't know what people are going through. What if someone who's following her, watching her, is going through that and doesn't know who to talk to? Because she said she was feeling so alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if her getting on and talking about it and just being so like raw and vulnerable and open? And I know that sounds so cliche, but what if that helps a person watching like turn a corner or make a decision or want to better themselves?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think she handled it as well as anybody could. Because mm-hmm. I know that shit was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to your point, Esther, like addiction looks so different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I think when people think of, oh, drug addicts or alcoholics, you think of people whose lives are in shambles and, you know, they're falling over and they can't stay awake. You know, you have this like this Hollywood image of what an addict looks like. So for her to be willing to come on and be like, no, this is what an addict can look like, and it, I can still be a functioning human being and all these other things. I mean, I have people in my family who are addicts. You would never have any clue. I didn't even have any clue with, you know, some of them when I found out. It was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just so many different levels, I guess. I don't know how else to say it.
Right.
So I think it's important what she's doing. I hope that she finds like a comfortable place where it's not the only thing she's ever talking about.
Right.
Because that can probably be difficult too. But I love that she is being so open with everything and so honest.
Yeah, and she did say like, I don't want to be known as like the drug addict girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, I'm so much more than that. But I think she's, from what I gathered from what she said, she's gonna try and have a balance of like her everyday normal life and someone who talks about ending the stigma of like addicts and all of the, that.
Yeah.
And she had been searching though every like so often she'd be like, man, I really don't know what the purpose for my blog is. And then she would like disappear. Sometimes she'd come back and she's like, I really don't know what this is. I'm going to redo this. I'm going to like change my brand. She was searching. And like, again, looking back at somebody that followed her, I'm like, wow, it totally makes sense. You know, she probably was just so lost at that she was like, I don't know. And so hopefully for her, and I was talking to a client who follows her too, hopefully this gives her a platform and has purpose. Not that that's all she's talking about, but it's giving her a purpose to have something that she's fighting for and accountable to. And it's keeping her in a safe space that's mm-hmm. her purpose. And she's able to share, you know, fashion and connect with people also on that. Because I feel like a lot of bibs, and we've talked about this in the past, have just kind of been searching for that flaw, searching for their purpose, searching for their, charity that they're going to be, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like something that they want it so bad. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, but it's almost like she has this. And for her, like hopefully it's used in a way that makes her feel fulfilled and given her a purpose to be herself and to not, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like just
absolutely. Well, and like you hit the nail on the head with the accountability thing, you know? She felt so lost before, and now she's like exposed herself and told her story, and I'm sure her DMs are flooding in with like support and everything. Mm-hmm. And so it is another way of accountability. And I'm sure, you know, I know she's seeing like, I think a therapist or counselor mm-hmm. and all of that, but it's just one more thing that can, you know,
keep her on track and have something that she's got to kind of report into, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely worth keeping up with that, in my opinion. And like I said, I like her. I did like her. And I'm glad to see that she is making progress and seems like to be in a very good place right now, which I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch her Q&A
because
I'm interested. But it's speaking of a bib who's been gone for a while. So she's, to me, this bib, before I say her name, I know her through My Darling Diary, which is sort of like a positivity brand. She posts lots of like positive quotes, like a lot of like Bible stuff. It's kind of like 50-50. I think there's like a merch store as well. And that's who I knew her through. And then I saw a post on My Darling Diaries stories of the actual girl behind it and clicked on it and like was opened up to this whole new world of who this person is behind the scenes. Her name is Jessie Afshin. It's JESSI_Afshin, AFSHIN. And she is a bib from Austin, Texas. And the last photograph that she posted was August 18th, 2019. So like almost a year and a half ago. And she dropped off the grid. She's a pretty big bib. She has 254,000 followers. She went on all the blogger trips. She's friends with Bree Shepherd, Champagne and Chanel, Courtney Shield, CM Cutting. Like she's runs in that same
connected
circle with all. Mm-hmm. So for her to just disappear, like that's pretty, you know, big.
And that's a long time. So think about how many people unfollowed her during that time, figuring that she wasn't coming back. So she's at 250 something now. You know, she could have been so much higher than that.
Totally.
Before a year and a half ago.
Yep.
So that's a lot to walk away from.
For sure. And, you know, just it running in the same circle as like Moo Moo and Dee Dee, like, it's, I don't know. To me, that's more than just like a smaller bib just taking a break. So anyway, she posted a photo today, and I'm just going to read part of the caption, but it's her embracing her, I guess, boyfriend. She says, 483 days have passed since I posted on this account. Remember me? I was someone who preached perfection through only nice things, but that girl was a slave to content, sales, and Instagram stories. My life I staged wasn't real. It was the life I thought I was supposed to be living. Gosh, I was successful by the world's standards, but I was never satisfied. And I lived in isolation and loneliness. Exhausted, I left my shiny life of false perfectionism quietly, fearfully. Who leaves the glamour and paycheck behind a following? Doesn't the algorithm and culture teach us that money, nice things, fame, and a following are everything? I walked away from what I held so tightly, surrendered my pride, my biz, and my false identity. However, it was through losing everything by the grace of God that I found me. I found true peace and purpose. I wrote a diary where the focus was not on me, designed comfy crew necks that encourage. But my story is also one of 1,825 long days of singleness, confusing dates, and questioning, dear God. And then she basically goes on, and I'm going to post this, excuse me, I'm going to post this tomorrow when the episode goes live, but basically it continues to talk about how she met David, the man that she's with now, and how he is, you know, how it's through like loneliness and the quiet times where God does his best work. And now David is here and he's going to help her megaphone their story of how Jesus redeems and everything. And I actually got emotional reading it. I don't know who this chick is. Like I read it this morning and like I was laying in bed and Nick and I ended up having this like whole random conversation about it. And because she hit on so many things, like the number of followers and the algorithm, and I was successful by like people's standards. So I did a little bit of Googling on her, and someone named Camille Stiles wrote an article about her on November 25th. You know, basically saying that we all know that social media can be a very dark place, that too often breeds FOMO and insecurity of images of seemingly perfect lives and bodies and careers. And so she says, I think we're all in the mindset right now of cleaning up our feeds and making conscious effort to follow only those accounts that bring more joy and positivity. So then she goes on to talk about Jessie. And Jessie, she said, it's quite an evolution, and Jessie captures it best. And she took a quote from Jessie saying, after years of chasing the world of blogging, I felt a true void and had a heartfelt desire to pursue, create, and pray into a platform with more purpose, kind of like what we were just talking about with Andrea. And she said, our mission is in My Darling Diary and the retail store. Our mission is to talk about a purpose greater than ourselves, encourage others by wearing our hearts on our sleeves, give back to those in need, and spread the message of joy and grace. And it's like, I have chills again. Like she's found her purpose. Mm-hmm. And she said her grandmother, and then she goes on to talk about her morning routine and how, like, you know, a lot of times the mornings are filled with like the first thing you do is get on your phone and check Instagram, and how the inspiration behind My Darling Diary and her new morning routine came from her grandmother, who was an avid reader and writer and who journaled everything about every single day. And so she, like, it evolved into this idea of creating this like faith-based online diary or journal. And I'm being so long-winded right now, but this is like, this really like hit home for me. But I'm going to post the article. You guys can go read it if you want, not just YouTube, but like all the followers. But there's so much, and I didn't even make notes about this topic because there was just too much to break down and digest. But I was talking to my friend Courtney a few days ago, and we were just talking about how we're just exhausted from this year and whether or not this year has like, you know, been like you've lost a job or gotten sick or whatever. Everybody is just feeling the stress of everything that this last year has brought. And for me personally, I've kind of struggled with like always being on. And again, Nick and I talked about this too, how the blogging world, it's 24/7. You're always going.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think it just really resonated with me. Like, we're coming to a new year. We're hoping that we can turn the page and have a clean slate in 2021 and we can have new things to look forward to. But there's so many uncertain things. And the fact that she's coming back right now at this like at the end of the year is kind of significant and cool. And I don't really have a, I guess I don't really have a point to what I'm saying, but I have so many. I have so many points.
No, she's definitely worth. Yeah. I've been following the My Darling Diary for a long time because that I love that message that she puts out, and sometimes it's so nice to read that first thing in the morning, you know. Yeah. But that is really like admirable that she like walked away from a huge following. I mean, she could have easily morphed that into her business, but she didn't. Yes. You know, just totally. So many things. But yeah, I mean, this. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's almost like she found her purpose like through this other project. Like she manifested the good things that she needed in her life by putting it out there for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, and I mean, Spencer, you and I, before we started recording, we're having a conversation about like taking steps forward and back in life. And sometimes when you think you're taking a step back, in hindsight down the road, it really could be a step forward or a step to the side to lead you to a new place. And for her, it must have felt just like taking a huge step back, like leaping backwards off of a bridge because she's leaving all of that behind. And like, am I going to come back? What am I going to do? And like, it's just, I don't know. To me, it like hits home because I think we're all struggling to like not just find our place on the internet, but find our place in this year because everything has just been turned so upside down. And I'm excited to follow along with her new journey now and see like what clarity she has and what new like tips she can share and all of that.
And it's always going to be there. You know, like her account was there. It's not going anywhere. And it's so good. Like you were saying, like sometimes you just have, we've talked about this multiple times. You just have to step away. And I think we all have agreed and we've talked about this over and over. This is not our job. And so we can, like if I'm having a day that I'm just like, blah, I don't have to get on stories. I don't have to push out any content. I don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to do that. Neither do y'all. And like, that is such a freeing feeling. And that's probably the feeling that she was lacking. She didn't have that. You know, she felt tied to, I got to get this down. And I got to, Maddie Nelson actually posted a story not too long ago. And she kind of said, same thing. She's like, I'm more of a live in the moment content kind of person. Like, I don't have prepared content because I live in the moment and we're just, you know, always posting real time. And I'm like, I love that so much, you know?
Me too. And like, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Spencer.
I was just going to say something that somebody said to me, and I forget who it was, like earlier this year, was like, we're all in the same storm, but on different ships.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember you said that.
And I thought that's like such an interesting way to look at things. And it really helps you give other people the grace to like navigate things without so much judgment. So like if somebody needs to step away or like, it, you know, whether it's announced or not announced, you know, or the Maddies who don't prepare content, like that's what works for her. That's how she's getting through her life. That's how she can keep all her balls in the air. You know what I mean? Like everybody is different. We're all in we're all in the same situation, but we're all getting through it a little bit differently.
I know I did not sound very like eloquent with that, but there's just, I'm going to go back and reread the article because there's so much to digest there. And it's just, it's so amazing, like, to hear, like, if that big of a bib can step away, like, it's okay to take a break. Mm-hmm. If you just want to unplug, like, Nick and I are trying to just, like, unplug more because our phones are in our hand 24/7. We're in front of the computer 24/7. And it sucks because, like, I was talking to a friend the other day and we were talking about getting together for a meal next week, and, like, we were both feeling bad because we're trying to balance life and all the other things we have going on. And I just totally lost my train of thought. I'm so tired. And it's like, I don't like saying no. Speaking of. But sometimes if you don't say no and you say yes to everything and you're always on everywhere talking to everyone and trying to do everything, you're doing yourself and others a disservice rather than just saying, I can't. I got to lay low. I can't do this another time, you know? And mm-hmm. like,
that's something that has been like so hard for me. For so many years, I was like ingrained to like say yes to everything. Like, yeah. You're going to miss out on opportunities if you don't say yes. And mm-hmm. so I was yes, 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 yes. Never said no. And even now, it's hard to say no. I don't like to say no. It's whether it's I'm making someone else uncomfortable, or I'm mm-hmm. letting someone else down, or I just have like FOMO. But like, there's a lot of power in being able to say no to mm-hmm. something.
And also to not yeah. apologize. And everybody does it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And like if we really think like, and we feel just this like obligation to go out of our way to be like, I'm so sorry, or like, I want to let you down easy, when the other person's probably like, no, it's totally fine, or yeah, let's do it another week, or you don't have to apologize for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And then just the added stress of this whole year is just kind of makes, I don't know, everybody wonder like, what should I be doing? But I also need to do this for myself, and it can be a whole big like clusterfuck. But
I mean, basically at the end of the day, nobody freaking knows. Literally, nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody yeah. knows what next month is going to be, next week, tomorrow. Right. I don't even know what I'm eating for dinner. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
I know what I'm eating for dinner. And I told Spencer before you got on.
What do you mean?
Bitch, I woke up to my stories
bitch.
Of a waffle,
of a waffle with sugar cookie kisses in it. And I went to Target and I bought more sugar cookie kisses and I bought waffle mix because I didn't have any. And I'm having waffles for dinner.
It's so good.
I'm happy. Girl,
it looks good.
I've been thinking about it all day.
I was like, Fisher wanted them. I was like, dang, I'm about to put in this waffle. And obviously people have put stuff in waffles before. It's not like I made that up. But I was like, And then it was very aesthetically pleasing. I was like, wow.
Waffle, baby, waffle.
Dead. All right, ladies. Shall we move on to swipe ups?
We shall.
Yes. But I have a request.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If it's okay, could I please do my swipe up first? Because it ties into everything we were just talking about.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Okay. So I have a friend here in Raleigh. Her name is Laura. And she, I'm pulling up her thing. Her Instagram handle is nourishedlife.wellness. And she's a holistic health coach. And she is all about, like, she does Reiki, and she's all about like healing yourself, like naturally. I can't even, I'm going to butcher the whole everything, just like I've done with everything I'm trying to talk, but she's about all about holistic health. And a few weeks ago, she posted about these cards, I guess a card game you could call it, called We're Not Really Strangers. And she said that she wants to get more into journaling, but she's one of those people that kind of just like journals and starts and stops and starts and stops, and she's never been really consistent. And she found these cards and she started using them as journal prompts to write in her journal. And basically, and she has a highlight, if you go to her page, called Journal Prompts, where she shows some of the cards and she explains it. But basically, it's like very introspective. And they have a couple of different kinds, like one for yourself, like you can play it with other, with friends as well. And then they have a relationship expansion pack. And so I bought it. And because Nick and I love to just like talk and we can go off on tangents forever. And I thought it would be a really fun thing to do as like a date night. But we've actually started using these cards at dinner time. Some days, like, we don't see each other all day. And at the end of the day, like, he has stuff to do at night. And we just kind of like sometimes are like ships in the night. And we try at dinner time, put our phones away and have conversations. And so we started doing these cards, and they're all these different questions. Like, one of them is, what was the first thing you noticed about me? Or what do you think my perfect date night would be? Or who do you think was more nervous on our first date? Or how important do you think birthdays and holidays are to me? Explain. And there's different levels. There's 1, 2, and 3, and we're just in level 1 right now. But I really think it's so cool from a personal standpoint where you can read these cards to yourself and like kind of have a conversation with yourself and journal these things out and have them with friends and or your partner. And it's just a really cool way to just unplug from absolutely everything and have real like meaningful conversations.
It makes me think of those, there's like a game that you can buy with like these sticks, and you pull the sticks, they're like, it's literally like conversation starters, but okay. It's questions like that, and they have all different like categories.
You can make that on Pinterest too. Get your little popsicle sticks in a mason jar, and you can make date jars, meal jars. Yeah, that's cute. Anything like that is so cute.
Yeah,
I love it because it's just stuff that I necessarily wouldn't think of right off the bat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I bought mine from their website, which you can do that too. But I linked it on, you can buy them at Urban Outfitters of all places. And I'm trying to look up the price right now. It's $12. You can buy like the 3-pack set, like the full thing for $30, or you can just buy like their single ones for $12. But I just think it's so unique. And when she shared it on her stories, I was like, I never would have thought to use that as like a journal prompt for yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's interesting that that's your swipe up because it's very similar to my own. Ooh, so,
okay.
I was looking for unique Christmas gifts. Okay. Something that like, Wendy, I think you and I had this conversation about it's nice to give a gift of experience, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. always give, you know, tangible gifts.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for ideas and I came across this company called The Adventure Challenge. And The Adventure Challenge is a book and it's 50 different adventures, so to speak. So each one is going to tell you an approximate dollar value of how much that it's you have to spend for that adventure, when to do it. Is it a daytime thing, nighttime, anytime? It gives the duration of the adventure, and then it's a scratch-off square. And the rule is once you scratch that off, you can't take it back. You have to do that challenge. And it's things like having a s'mores night. You know, it's so there are... There's a book for couples. There's a book for friends. There's a book for families. And then there's a book for solo experiences. And there's a little spot next to each challenge where you can also put a photo of you doing that.
That's cute. I love, love.
Oh my God. It is
so cool. So there's, like I said, there's 50 challenges in each book. And the book is $40. So think about how long it would take you to do 50 of these challenges. Like, that's a really good value. And the challenges are not expensive. Most of the price ranges are like $5 to $30.
Oh.
So not huge investments of time. And with the couples book, it's really cool because you can actually sign up for a box subscription. And so it's $40 a month. The box they send you correlates with with one of the adventures. So you'll get your box and you'll see which adventure it is. You'll go scratch it off and it'll tell you what you're doing. And then you can you peel open the box and the contents of what you need will be right there so you don't have to go shopping. It's cool thing. It's such a cool gift. Like, I'm definitely getting it for like some of the cousins, and I'm really excited about it. I want to get one for us too.
That would be fun. Yeah.
That is freaking amazing. Zing.
Yeah. So it's called the Adventure Challenge, and you can go right to their website, which is theadventurechallenge.com.
Okay. Well, now I feel bad for going in front of you because yours was right along the same lines of what we were talking about too.
No, it's perfect.
I don't apologize because in 2021, I want to apologize less, but that is so cool. I'm going to swipe up on that because one of my goals for 2021 is trying to be like more present in life, like more unplugged and just like enjoying like little small moments that might seem insignificant, but it's just so important.
I think too, like part of the reason this year has been really hard for a lot of people is we haven't been able to get out and do normal things. And so a lot of these challenges they don't involve going out to a bar or going out to a restaurant. It's about being like together with whoever you're doing it with. And, you know, so I think that it's a great way to have those like date nights or those adventures without actually going out and having an adventure.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So cute. Well, that is so crazy that y'all said that because mine is nothing to do with this. Mine are these little, y'all know I love my little Oli. Dang it, I dropped it. Hold on.
I'm going to find a way to tie her thing into our thing.
Oh, it definitely can because this is an immunity and elderberry immune support to keep up. So you got to keep up with all these little adventures y'all are doing in journaling.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. But they're $10 for I cannot talk tonight. Last week I was drinking dirty martinis. This week I'm drinking water and ain't nothing working for me. $10. I got the blood orange. Y'all, these are so good. You know how like the emergencies taste? Like I like those, but they kind of taste like vitamin-y. You know what I mean? Yes. Like you're licking a pole or something, like metal. Don't do that. You'll get the COVID. These are not like that. It literally just tastes like oranges and it's so good. And then obviously it's got like a lot of benefits to it and there's no artificial flavors, gluten-free, no sweeteners. I have drank two of these today because I had a headache and I just, you know, I'm just trying to fight it. It hasn't worked, but I don't think it's for that. So,
but hey, your immunity is good.
Maybe you need liquid IV.
I have some of those. I bought the strawberry ones. Did y'all get those?
No, I saw that they have them though, so I'm going
to
order them.
I just got them. It took forever to get them, but I got two bags.
Bitches.
Yes. But
now it's part of my Christmas present to you guys.
Oh, I'll take more. That's fine.
Oh, well, I haven't ordered them yet. So.
That's fine. But anyway, so like I said, $10 for a box and we all could use a little bit of immunity support these days. So that's mine. Very boring compared to y'all's, but they're delicious. So
no, I'm going to get it because I take the Goalie or the Ollie. I don't know why I say Goalie. Ollie or Oli vitamins like every single morning. And I have I think the hair ones and they taste like a just fresh, juicy tangerine. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how it tastes like.
Oh, these are the ones that I bought with you last weekend. Remember when I was like, oh, I keep wanting to try these. These are the ones I bought when we were getting tester stuff. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're very good. 10/10 recommend.
I'm going to get them.
Get them.
All right. Well, I think these are all excellent swipe ups. And hopefully everyone tries at least one of them. Wait, I have a question about the Oli thing. Mm. Is there other flavors? Because I really hate orange.
Oh, you do? Yeah, they have a strawberry lemonade, I believe.
Okay, I'll try that one. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Swiping Up. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode and rate us 5 stars on iTunes. If you'd like to support us and just can't get enough bib news and tea, you can head on over to patreon.com and become a patron at the Miller's tier. Follow us on Instagram at Swiping Up. You can follow me, Spencer, at Spencer So Basic.
You can follow me, Esther, at Esther So Extra.
And you can follow me, Wendy, at Wendy Being Basic.
And as always, don't forget to #
embrace the basics. Bye, guys.
This show is part of the Orbital Jigsaw Network. For more episodes, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. For details and show notes from each episode, check us out, orbitaljigsaw.com.